Two Sunday mornings ago, we were studying about the attacks that the devil makes against all of us, but particularly noting that the devil is going to cause persecution and bring temptation upon not just all Christians, but including new Christians, as he's not going to be waiting for us to grow strong in our faith before trying to destroy what faith we have. And his efforts to destroy us will continue as long as we're on this earth. He's going to be seeking to devour us. Last week, we were looking at the necessity of our facing temptations, which are these spiritual tests, and what the outcomes, the possible outcomes are. That is, either we're going to give in to the temptation and commit sin by disobeying God, or we're going to continue to obey God's commandments and not fall to the temptation. So, of course, our goal is to follow the road that Christ has established for us as an example, that road of obedience, to be servants of obedience unto righteousness, to no longer be following that road of sin unto death, exemplified by Adam, the first man. So we can change the road we're on and accomplish the will of God, but we're all going to have to face those tests on our faith. Well, this morning, we want to continue in this study about temptation, but now look at what the Lord teaches us about how we can overcome temptation so that we can follow in the steps of Christ and be on that road that leads to eternal life, that road of obedience and righteousness. We want to take the time to actually study some of the specific words the Lord uses in Scripture describing the overcoming of sin and temptation. And there are a number of different words he uses. They have different shades of meaning. Now, it's all under the same topic of how we can overcome temptation. But with the individual words that the Lord uses, we can learn some of the particular details that we need to be aware of. And these words are very instructive to us. The first one that we want to look at is a Greek word. It's hupophero. Now, we don't need to memorize that, so we're not going to be graded on what Greek words we know, or but if we look up the word, we can look up the definition of it. And hupophero is a Greek word that means to bear from underneath, because hupo in Greek is below and or under. And that word phero, that's where we get the word bear, our English word, from. So it's to bear under. This is a word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verses 12 and 13. This is a very important passage for our faith. It shows God's faithfulness and how God is working to help us to be able to overcome sin. As we noted last week, we're going to face these tests on our faith. Now, we have a lot of students in here, and I think just about every one of us, we're either an ex-student or a current student, or both. We're all familiar with having exams, tests or exams. And I think all of us have experienced at times either tests or questions on tests that we really didn't think were very fair, that we thought that the question, well, something was either wrong with it, or maybe there was something that was on there that we really weren't taught. Maybe there was a test or an exam that we took that was more difficult beyond what instruction we'd been given. Well, when we think of the spiritual tests that we have to face, which is what temptation is, we're not going to have a situation like that. We're not going to ever face a situation where we haven't been given the instructions by God, that is, the teachings from His Word, that will equip us to face that test. Also, God is not going to allow any test that we face to be harder than, that is, to be beyond what we can bear. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Now in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now, can we create a situation for ourselves where we're going to be more susceptible to a test? Well, the answer to that is obviously yes. Let him that thinketh he stands. Now, if that's what we're thinking about ourselves, I'm strong, or I can stand, I can handle anything. If that's what we're thinking, then where's our confidence? Who do we have faith in? And if we are, if we have are puffed up in ourselves, what comes before a fall? Pride does, and this is a warning against that. So should we ever be going into a day, which is going to be any day we live, we're going to be facing some tests that day. Should we be entering any day feeling puffed up about what is going to come our way and how we're going to face that? And if we're going into the day with pride, it's very likely that we're going to end that day with a different state than we started it. And we can help ourselves a great deal by not thinking that we stand. We need to take heed lest we fall. So we need to be looking to God for help in every situation that we're in. Because if we're proud, we're going to fall. If we exalt ourselves, we're going to be abased. And those of us, you don't have to be around in this life very long to become personally acquainted with situations like that. And I feel confident that we could all look back on our past, maybe even a number of times where we were actually puffed up in ourselves in some way and got humbled. So he's warning us against that. So let's not think we stand. Let's ask the Lord to help us to stand, which is where verse 13 comes in. He says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Well, what is our goal there with the temptation? The temptation's coming. What is the desired outcome from that test? That we would bear it. And there's that word, hupophero, to bear under. And so that's the word that he's using there at the end of verse 13. So we want to be able to bear up under the temptation that comes upon us. Well, if we're bearing up under it, we're not falling to it. I mean, that's what he's warning us against in verse 12. So again, we see the two outcomes when we have temptation come before us. We can either fall or we can bear up under it and overcome it. So we're looking for the way that that we can bear those temptations, to bear up under them. Well, he tells us, number one, that there's not going to be any test that we face that is not common to man. Now, is it tempting sometimes to think, well, nobody knows what I'm going through, if we're facing some very difficult circumstances, for us to start feeling sorry for ourselves and think that nobody's ever been through what we have had to face what we do? Well, we shouldn't think like that, and it shouldn't be difficult for us to even consider examples that we're very familiar with from the Word of God. On our worst day or our worst circumstances, has any of us ever faced what Job did, for example? is the test that he was under in that book. I mean, that's one that God gives us for a great example to learn from and follow. I'm not familiar with anybody or have heard of anybody that's gone through the extent of the things that Job has. Anything that we face, any temptation that we face, it's not unique to us. We're not the only one that's ever gone through it. These things are common to man. So that's number one. He's encouraging us with that. So we're not going to be singled out for some special type of persecution from the devil that's unlike what anybody else has ever gone through. Because what can we can go from the flip side of, from thinking we stand to the other side and think, well, I'm going to be defeated no matter what. And if we're thinking, well, we're being given some test that's so great, nobody's ever faced it before, and it's too strong for me to be able to get through this and just give up. Well, we don't want to think we stand, but we also don't want to surrender and give up, because he says it's whatever we face as far as temptation is concerned is common to man. But number two, most importantly, what does he say? God is faithful, who will not, he says, suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that word, when it says he will not suffer us, God will not suffer us to be tempted above what we're able. That word suffer, aao is the Greek word there that means to let be, to allow. So he's not going to allow us to be tempted above what we can bear. Now, for that to be the case, is God working in all things in our lives? Is he ever just checked out from whatever situation that we're facing, where we're out there on our own and he's not there? I mean, that's never going to happen for any one of us. Now, when we consider that all the people in this world and how God is working in all things, he's working in the nations, ruling the nations. He's behind all the things that are going on in this world, all the big events that we know about in the news and things like that, and all that's going on the global scale. God's involved in working all of that. But when we get down to the very small level with each individual person, and especially each child of God, God is involved in every situation in our lives. Now, how can he do that with me and you and everybody in this room and all our brethren throughout the world, all simultaneously at any given moment, and he's working in all things in every one of our lives? Well, he's able to do that. God has that power. And he promises us by his faithfulness, he will not allow us to be tempted above that you're able. That we're able. Does that mean God knows at any moment in time what we are able to bear as far as temptation? Are there degrees of temptation or some tests greater than others? They are. Does God know exactly at each moment that we're alive what our ability is to be able to bear a particular test? He knows that. He knows us that well. Are we of more value to him than many sparrows? Does a single sparrow fall without the Father? What did Jesus say about that? Not one does. And if that's the case with those birds, that not one of those birds falls without that being the will of God, what about us? Does he know every hair on our head? He knows every bit of us. And he searches and knows our inner man. He knows exactly what we can bear. And he's faithful not to allow us to have a test above what we can bear. That's a promise of God. Now, how important is that promise there? That promise is essential to our being able to live spiritually and to be able to get through the temptations bearing up under them, which is the point of that verse. So he will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. And he also says that he will make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Now that word escape, ekbasis is the word there that means, it means an exit. That's the literal meaning of the word. There's an exit. There's a way through it. There's a door open through that we may be able to bear it. Now, does this mean that he is providing a way around it where we don't have to face the test? No. He's saying there's a way through it, an exit through that temptation that we can bear up under it. So the test we have to overcome, but we can through him. He's not going to allow us to be tested above what we're able, and is going to provide an exit through that. There's always going to be a way through. We're never going to face a situation in our lives where there's no way to do what is right or what is what the Lord commands. I remember from many years ago, this is over 30 years ago, there's some other people in this room that were there with me up in North Carolina somewhere, and there was what was supposed to be a gospel meeting for the young people for younger people. And, well, they had a person there that was a false teacher. And this particular individual was speaking to the young ones, the mostly teenagers there, and was creating these hypothetical situations. And in these hypothetical situations that he was presenting from the pulpit, there was no way to do what was right in that situation. He was presenting them with scenarios where they were having to choose one wrong way or another. As an example, he said, if you're out somewhere and you've been told be home at a certain time, and then this happens and that happens, and you can't be there, and there's no way to call your parents. And so he was creating this situation, and like, what are you going to do now? And he made it where they were going to have to choose some wrong way, some way of disobedience in that situation. And that was really breaking down the faith of those young people, because they're here, they're considering, now they're learning, they were being taught situational ethics to decide for themselves what was right and wrong. It was really wicked, and that has stuck with me for decades, remembering how that was presented. God promises us that we're not going to be in a situation like that. There is going to be an exit. There's going to be a way through whatever that test is. If he put us in situations where there was no way we could do what was right, then it's either a test that's too strong for us, that is above what we're able to bear, or he's not providing a way of exit through it. No way of escape. But God says that he will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. He will provide a way of escape through it. So what's the bottom line? He says that you may be able to bear it. Is there any test on our faith, any temptation that we face that we cannot overcome? Not according to what he says right there. Do we believe what he says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Do we believe that? When God promises that, do we believe that, or do we believe he's telling us a lie there? Well, if we say, well, that was too much for me, or I couldn't do what was right, or we have these excuses of why we could not obey God through whatever the temptation was, if we're making excuses like that, then we're saying that what God says here is not really true, and that we don't really believe it. But this is essential for our faith. This is one of those exceeding great and precious promises that he's given us by which we can be partakers of the divine nature. So we can escape these temptations. We can overcome them. But this is one where he uses that word to bear under it. We can bear under it by God's faithfulness and not allowing it to be above what we're able to bear, but providing that way, that exit through it, that way of escape. Now, for us to be able to do that, don't we need to know his word and also be able to recognize by his word what is the way of escape? What is the right thing to do here? And we're going to have God's teachings if we know what he says, and we consider what he says and use that shield of faith, we can overcome, we can quench that fiery dart from the devil, and we can overcome that temptation, we can bear up under it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, this is another passage where he uses that same word, and it's translated endured here, as also in 1 Peter 2. So a couple more passages where he uses this word hupophero, to bear under. And so it's translated endure. It was translated bear in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's translated endure here in 2 Timothy 3. Let's read 10 through 12. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 12. And just for a little background, this was inspired by God through the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul met Timothy on his first missionary journey in that part of what it would be Acts chapter 14, when he went to Lystra and Derbe, and that's where Timothy was from. That's when he met him. So he's going back to the time when Timothy first met Paul as a very young man, when Timothy was converted to Christ, and that being on Paul's first missionary journey. This was many years later that this is written, but he's recalling those events that are recorded in Acts 14 when Paul got stoned there in Lystra. And so in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So what was the point of Paul bringing this situation up to Timothy and to all of us? Because we're all going to suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will. So Timothy did, Paul had, we will, all of us. And so that's a reminder of that point. But when Paul faced those persecutions on that first missionary journey that he's referring to there, and there were many temptations through that. But what does he say? He says, "I endured." He bore up under them. Did Paul give in and do evil to those who were doing evil to him? Did he quit doing what was right in the sight of the Lord? Or did he continue to obey God and continue to do what was right in his sight? We read some from that passage in Acts 14 at the first part of this study, where after being stoned and persecuted in all these ways and suffering all these afflictions, he went back through the cities where all those things happened to encourage the brethren there and teach them that we have to endure, and it's through much affliction that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. So he was teaching them because he knew this truth, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So he was being an example to them. He was teaching them the same, that was going to happen to them, to us. But as the Lord provided a way of escape for Paul through all of those, and so he was able to bear up under it, we can also in the same way. First Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 2, 18 and 19, he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." And as we've pointed out many times, that word thankworthy is the Greek word charis, which is the word for grace or favor. This is how we obtain God's grace. This is how we grow in it. He gives his grace to the humble. Well, how humble do we have to be to continue to obey him when we're suffering wrongfully, suffering for righteousness' sake? Just like he said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, that we all must. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's suffering wrongfully. When we are doing what's right, when we're doing the will of God, obeying his commandments, and then we're being persecuted for doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. Well, if we continue to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, even when we're suffering for doing so, does that require humility on our part? Didn't Jesus humble himself and become obedient unto the cross, unto the death of the cross? He did. And so we need to have that mind in us. And that's what he's teaching us there. But that word, when he says endure grief, that's to bear up under it. Well, Christ did, and so can we. So we need to bear up under these temptations that come through these persecutions for righteousness' sake. And God is going to provide a way of escape so we can bear up under it each and every time, and following that way of escape that he always provides. Now, there's a similar word in the Greek language to hupophero. There's one hupomeno. If we recognize the hupo to begin with, it also has that word under as a prefix, but the word minnow means to stay. So literally it means to stay under. And so we are to bear under, and we are to stay under. So very similar words. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, so we just read 18 and 19, well, verse 20, he translates this word patiently. And this is where it gets interesting and why it's always a value to us in our study of the Word of God to look up some words. Because we might think, you know, we see 1 Peter 2:19 where he says, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And then the very next verse, he speaks about taking patiently twice. We might assume that's the same word. Well, they're closely related, but it's not exactly the same word. It's hupophero in verse 19 that endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But it's hupomeno in verse 20, the two times where he translates it patient, where it's translated patiently in our King James Version. But 1 Peter 2:20 says, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That word acceptable, again, just like thankworthy in verse 19 is the Greek word charis. So by having this, demonstrating this humility to continue to obey God's commandments, even through suffering wrongfully, doing what is well, and then suffering for it. And he's very clear on that in verse 20. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, to stay under. Well, we have to bear under, but it is going to keep happening, and it's not just something we do one time or for a little bit. As long as we're being tested, as long as the temptation is there, we have to bear up under, but we have to stay under it. So there is, we can really see the endurance aspect here that he's speaking of with this word, to stay under. So that's taking it patiently. We're staying under. So are we giving in and doing what's wrong and giving up? Or are we continuing to do well through all of it? No matter what it is, no matter how long it lasts, we're going to keep doing God's will, continue to obey his commandments through all of those temptations that come through these persecutions. Well, that's what he's teaching us to do there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. This particular word is also just to see some other examples where it's used in this as far as our temptations are concerned. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Matthew 10, verse 22, he says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we can really see there why he uses that word hupomeno, to stay under. He that endures to the end. So it's not just a time or two. And this is really looking at the big picture with all the tests that we have to go through. Each and every one of them, we have to bear up under them through each individual temptation. But through all those, as they accumulate through a lifetime of serving Christ, we have to bear up under each and every one of them. So we have to stay under it to the end. I mean, to the end of what? Well, he says we have to endure to the end, and if we do, we will be saved. And he repeats that many times in his word. So this is going to be through not just the end of a particular test, but all the tests through our lifetime. Because if we at any point give in and give up and fall to them, we're no longer pleasing the Lord. We need to continue to stay under these things and continue to do God's will through it all. And through all of that, God is with us to provide that way of escape, and we're not going to face anything above what we can bear, as he's promised us. So in Mark 13:13, he also says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And then we have Matthew 24:13. Matthew 24:13 says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Over and over again he teaches that. Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. Here are the things that we need to do. He says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." There's hupomeno, staying under in our tribulations. "Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." In 1 Corinthians 13:7, when he's teaching us about the love of God and concerning God's love, in 1 Corinthians 13:7, he says, "It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Hupomeno, it stays under all things. If we have the love of God in us, we're going to stay under all things, all of the temptations, the tests that we have to face, and through all the persecutions and tribulations that we're going to go through in our lives and following Christ. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 12. 2 Timothy 2:8-12, he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." So there in verse 8 when he said, or verse 9, he said, "Therefore I endure all things." So there's the word hupomeno again. I stay under all things. That's the endurance there. And it's the same word that we see in verse 12, "if we suffer." Well, he's not there saying if we do have persecutions, because, well, what does the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 12 say? "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So that's a given. But when he says if we suffer in 2 Timothy 2:12, hupomeno, if we stay under, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, if we give in and we fall to the temptation, are we serving Christ, or are we not? I mean, are we really denying him by those works, by our disobedience? Then we have to stay under. If we do, well, as he says, if we endure to the end, we'll be saved. Here he says, if we stay under, if we suffer, we will reign with him. So that's the eternal reward that's there. But we have to bear up under and stay under through all of it that we face in our lives as Christians. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 concerning Christ. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He endured the cross. He stayed under. Was there one temptation that came upon Christ with all that came when with him going to the cross? How many temptations were there? Well, he bore under each individual one, but he stayed under all of it until he overcame all of those temptations and fulfilled all the will of God. He became obedient unto death, even that death on the cross. And then it says, "For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So Christ is that example, the ultimate example of staying under all of those temptations, and we must do the same. He tells us in James 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," hupomeno. So we see that word used so often when he's describing really the big picture what our life as following Christ must be like in terms of going through all of the trials on our faith in our lives and continuing to serve the Lord through all of it. And that's where we see that word to stay under used so often. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So often with that word, we see the promise of the eternal reward if we do that. James 5, verse 11, he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So we're going to be blessed if we stay under all of those things, like Job did, like Paul did, and especially like Christ did. And the Lord is going to be with us through all of those things so that we can do so. This is an opportunity for anybody who's here this morning that needs to become a child of God. Yes, it is going to be a life where we have to face tribulation, and we're going to have a lot of tests on our faith that we have to go through in that life. But that's how we're going to be able to grow in Christ. And if we do that, if we bear up under all of those temptations and stay under them, which we're able to do by the Lord's faithfulness and all that he does for us in each of those things, then we have that crown of life. We have that eternal salvation that awaits us where we can reign with Christ forever and ever. So if you're ready to start to follow him this morning, we're encouraging you at this time to come forward and repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a member of the Lord's body, if you've not been bearing up under those temptations as you should, if you need to repent or you need the prayers of the church this morning, you also have this opportunity to come at this time. So we want to encourage everyone that has that need to do so right now while we stand together and sing.